Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Miles, Little Sand Mountain Baptist Church. Welcome to Bible study. Hope you're doing well. I hope the program finds you doing wonderful today. You know, we have a lot going on around us, and let's pray for one another and encourage one another. And the Lord's going to see us through. Okay? Well, we're in Genesis chapter 12. It's where we are. It's where we left off. As I scurried away last week. And so just pray for me about this time. I'm watching this counter and I get involved in what I'm saying and sometimes I miss. So, but anyway, I'm glad you've decided to come back. And I hope that the Lord will enlighten us. We're fixing to get into some real, fixing to make a change here in the text and in the progress of Genesis. And it's going to be really interesting, and we've come a long way and learned a lot and forgotten a lot, we've stored it away, and what will happen is when you're hearing preaching or you're reading and studying, and the Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance because, see, you put it inside. He can't bring something to our hearts and minds unless it's there. That's why it's important for us when we battle the devil to have the Word of God in us. That's why it's important for us when tragedy comes or, you know, troublesome circumstances arise, that we've hid God's word in our hearts, that we can stand against Satan, that we won't sin against him, and that we can make it in life, be prepared in death. And so before we begin, though, I've got a friend on my heart this morning, known her and her husband for a long time. She's going through a very difficult time. And I just want to, not going to call her name, but I just want to lift her up in prayer today. Ask God to touch her, to give her strength. She's going through a very difficult time. It's hard for her, her husband, her children. And they mean a lot to me and my family. Thinking about them here recently brings up some memories, some times we've had together. And so, let's begin the day by prayer. And, you know, if you got a prayer request, you know, put that on your heart. Think about it. Think about the person or whatever. And we'll agree together for God to help our friends, our loved ones, our churches, our pastors, our people, our president, our politicians. Pray for everybody. Okay, so let's start today with prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come to you. Thank you for all these dear people that are listening this morning. I pray for every heart, Lord, that has a disturbance, that has a circumstance, a trial, a tribulation, a valley. Lord, you know, a wilderness experience, whatever we might want to call it, whether it's health, financial, worry, fear. Lord, you are our God, and we're studying about you. And we want to know all we can about you. We love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, for all that you do in our hearts and minds. And so we bring our loved ones to you, especially those that are hurting this morning. I lift up my friend to you and ask you to put your hand upon her, guide her through this situation. Lord, prepare her heart, lift her spirits, be with her husband, her children. And God, let people be close by them. And Lord, just be especially real to her in her hour. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to you. And we love you and praise you and thank you. And we trust you. We trust you. We're following you. Lord, wherever you lead, we'll go. Help us to stay focused on you, not to look at where we're walking, not to look at the mountain or the cliff or the valley or whatever it might be. Lord, help us to stay focused on you and help us to get out of the boat like Peter did, but help us to stay focused on you. We love you and praise you now because we ask it in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us in our study today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank y'all very much. God bless you. Now, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. Last week was introduced to Abram and Terah, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son, Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. in the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, we've been through a lot of names and births and the beginning of nations, and we know that the Sethite line coming from Noah is the godly line, is the line, and we know this because here is Abraham is from that line, and Abraham is to whom God gave the promise of the land, the seed, the blessing, the Abrahamic covenant. And it's important to note, I want you to look in chapter 11, verse 30. I just read 31, but look in verse 30. It talks about, at verse 27, the generations of Terah, and it talks about these people. And then it mentions Sarah or Sarai. Look at verse 30. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah, she had children. But Sarai, as we'll call her until her name is changed, was barren. She had no child. Now, there's a reason that that's there. That's the literal meaning of the word. Sarah had no child. It mentions it twice. She was barren, which means she had no child. But then the Holy Spirit puts in there, she had no child. She was barren, had no child. So there's a double emphasis on her condition. All right, and you know, I know that you've heard before that women in the Bible who didn't have children were ostracized. They were looked down upon. Remember Hannah, and they were looked down upon, and they were deemed to be unfit, or that something was wrong, or they were being punished, or you know, or something like that. But this is going to be a picture of God's wonderful grace and power. You already know what unfolds and what happens. But I wanted to emphasize that because you will hear God talking in just a minute to Abraham, and he's making a promise, and Abraham's on the other end of this promise, and he's listening, and for that promise to be fulfilled, Abraham's got to have some young'uns, all right? I mean, that's just the way that is, but Abraham didn't have any children because his wife could not have any. Now, let's pick it up in chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He was in Mesopotamia when this promise was given. He said, now watch. He said, verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. All right, now he's going to make Abram a great nation. Abraham's listening to this. Now wouldn't you think, Abraham's like, I don't have any children. He even mentions that later on, of course. But here in the beginning, this is Abraham's call. God's speaking to him. And the Lord said unto Abraham, now, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, look at that promise right there. We have some Jewish friends live right down the road. I will bless them that bless thee. And I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that is a promise. That's a messianic promise right there. The last phrase, and there's a promise to those who would people and nations and countries who would bless Abraham, the Jews. God would bless them, and those that would curse them, he would curse them. That promise still stands for today. That didn't stop. That wasn't just Old Testament promise. Think about that. The Jews, the Hebrew people, are God's chosen people. They are still God's chosen people. This is the beginning of the Hebrew race. Moses was the father of the Hebrew nation. Abraham is the father of the Hebrew race. And so the Hebrew race is beginning. God's beginning. God's choosing his people through Abraham right here. And he's making this promise. And in making this promise is a fulfillment to what God did in the Garden of Eden, when he covered the sins of his head shall bruise thy heel. Remember that? All right, this is an extension of that promise right here. Here is God putting this promise directly to a man, and he's going to, and out of this man's loins is going to come the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people. All right, now look at your Bible in verse 4. I find Bible history fascinating. I'm actually studying, preaching on Sunday mornings via Facebook, through the book of Revelation, and we're talking about the seven churches, and we're going it's where we are right now. We talked about Thyatira last week, and in doing so, I'm studying some church history, and I love church history, and I love Bible history. I love American history. I love history, period, especially Bible history, how all of this unfolded. And here we are, right in the very beginning. We've came from Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and we've seen the first murder, the first marriage, and we're moving right along, and we've seen the Tower of Babel, the flood. We've been through that, and we're seeing God's hand in the glove of history. We're seeing God work, navigate, work right on through, choosing people to carry out his will. And every one of these was a free moral agent. Remember, Noah could have said no, not gone on the ark. Abraham could have said, I'm not leaving my homeland. But here's the thing. Noah loved and worshiped God, so did Abraham. And so did Enoch. And so God uses people who love and worship him. He does. They're not without fault. They're not without trouble. They're not without anguish or pain. But those that love God are imperfect people. They're not perfect. Won't ever be perfect until we go to heaven. But, you know, Abraham made some mistakes. Noah made some mistakes. David made some mistakes. Jonah made mistakes. Manasseh made mistakes. I mean, you know, you go all through the Bible. Their folk, if we wore tunics, they put their tunic on just like we do. They're folk. They're people. You know, they're apt to make mistakes. They're prone to wander, just like us. That's what draws me, is because I'm just like them. They're just like me. That's all there is to it. And you know what? God loves us. And he's demonstrating this all through the book of Genesis so far. And as we continue on, God demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is what he's doing right now. He's preparing for the arrival. He's getting his people together, and he's preparing for the arrival of his son in the future. Right, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He was 75. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. I see God told him to go to Canaan. I see God gave him a specific instructions, okay? Just like he gave Noah specific instructions. He said to go to Canaan. So, and it says, look in the end of verse 5, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place called, here it's called Sichem, but it's Shechem in the future, unto the plain of Moreh. And about Shechem, it's the north central on the eastern slope of Mount Ebal. Jacob would live there for a time as well. Joseph would be buried there. The Canaanites were a distinct culture group. The term Canaanite also was an umbrella term for a lot of other ethnic groups. The Hittite, the Jebusite, the Girgashite. Remember those? They were mentioned. Some of those were mentioned previously, and we're going to encounter them again as we go on. And verse 6, and Abraham passed through the land to a place called Shechem, and to the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now this is one of three appearings. Now God appeared unto Abram. Now, you know, I believe it was an appearance. I don't believe he saw God face to face. Remember, no man has seen God face to face and lived. Moses was the closest one, and God covered him. And passed, covered him with his right hand, passed by him when he put him in the cleft of the rock. But here, I notice it says that the Lord appeared unto Abram. So it doesn't say it was in a dream. It doesn't say he was in a trance or anything like that. Somehow, in some form, God appeared unto him. And I believe it was because of the importance and to get Abraham's complete attention. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed I will give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So he got Abraham's attention. Abraham followed through over here, and he departed like the Lord had said. But see, sometimes the Lord, you'll have an encounter with God. Now, don't take that the wrong way, but you'll have. This was especially important for Abraham. This was something that belonged to him. Now, when God speaks to you, and it's exciting for you, when God reveals a truth to you, or when God calls you, God moves you into a situation or out of a situation, when God is moving in your life, it's especially exciting. And it's for you, and it's hard for somebody else to get a hold of that same excitement. People are excited for you, but I've heard this phrase before: what God has for you is for you. That's meaningful. So the Lord appeared unto him, and it says that, it makes that known twice right here in verse 7. Verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So that's the second time he built an altar, and he called on the name of the Lord. I've always found that term, the way that's phrased, it's all through the Old Testament there. He called on the name of the Lord. That just rings in my ear. That just somehow that touches my heart. He called on the name of the Lord. Well, you know, that appears to me that's a powerful statement. You know, I've never thought it was proper to refer to God out of His name. I've never, you know, people say the man upstairs, or they use some other terminology for God other than Heavenly Father or the Lord Jehovah, and something out of that. I've never liked that. I've never called my daddy by his first name, Everett. I've always called him Dad, Daddy, you know, and I've never referred to God as the man upstairs or something remotely like that. I think it's irreverent, and I think that the Bible speaks right here when he says he called on the name of the Lord. It'll say it again in chapter 13. He called upon the name of the Lord. See, there's power in God's name. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name, the devils of hell can't stand against that name. The devil, and you know, there's somebody needs to hear that today. I know there is, because otherwise it wouldn't have come up. But just whisper his name. Whisper his name. If you don't know what to pray, if you don't know what to say, if you're hurting bad, and you know, and it's hard for somebody else to understand what you're going through unless they're going through it, whisper his name. Take your Bible, hold it close to your breast, and whisper his name. Just say, Jesus, 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 over and over. Say it. There's power in the name of the Lord God Almighty. There's power in his name. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Verse 9. Now things change right here. We're going to learn a little bit about Abraham's character. Chapter 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. The Canaanites, the land of Canaan, depended on the rainfall for the crops. It was a dry place. And so God told him to go to Canaan. He went there. But when the famine came, he started looking elsewhere. Does that ever happen to you when a famine comes? When there's a shortage of something, when there's a lack of something, do you start looking elsewhere? Now think about this for just a minute now. And there was a famine in the land. Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. It was tough. It was hard. It was terrible. But there was water in Egypt. The Nile River was there, and there was water in Egypt. So you say, well, that's only natural, Brother Mike. Well, I don't know. Listen, when God had made him a promise. He said that he was going to, he told Abraham that I will bless him that bless thee, curse him that curse thee, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And these are some powerful words coming from God to this man. And here's the thing, that happens every single day, because the book that I have on this table right here, and the book that you have in your lap, or wherever you are, is the most powerful book in all the world, and God speaks every single day, and yet we still go somewhere else sometimes. When a famine comes, when a difficult situation comes, we'll go somewhere else. We'll go to the south. Abraham went down into Egypt. Now see, notice what it says. He went down. Remember, Jonah went down into the belly of the whale. He went down to the bottom of the ship. Remember that? Down. He went down into Egypt. Sojourn there, famine was grievous, and it came to pass when he was come near into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife. Now here it is right here. There's already some doubts. There's already some fear. Because he's not where he's supposed to be. He's not where he's supposed to be. And this is not what God told him to do. Now see, we're going to call it a lack of faith. I don't know what you're going to call it. I'm going to say he's acting in his mind instead of with the mind of God. And don't act like you ain't never done that, because I know I have. And it came to pass when he's come near unto the Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. He said, she's about 65 years old. He's 75. She's about 65. She's 10 years younger. So he said, you know something, Sarai? He said, you pretty. You sure are pretty. And here's the thing, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is thy wife, and they shall kill me, but they shall save thee alive. So see, listen at him. He was thinking of his life. They would kill him and save her. He said, you're pretty, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to see you, and they're going to want you, but they're going to kill me, because they're going to know, if they know that you're my wife. So this is what he said. So he'd only told a half a lie. Therefore, they shall see thee, and they will save thee alive. Look at verse 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Well, she was his half sister. She was his half sister. Chapter 20, verse 12 will bring that out. She was his half sister. So he only told half a lie. That's not too bad, is it? Mm-mm. There ain't no such thing as a half lie. My soul shall live because of thee. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake. If you say that you're my sister, then I won't be a threat to them. They will, you know, it'll be all right. And it came to pass when Abram was come into Egypt that the Egyptians beheld the woman. She was very fair. The Egyptians looked at her and said, she is pretty. And this is what the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into the Pharaoh's house. He would oftentimes, now wait a minute, let me read this verse first. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. Now listen to this. And he had sheep, oxen, asses, men servants, maid servants, and she asses and camels. Now, oftentimes when people would come into another nation like that, he actually bought her. He paid for her. He entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep, oxen, asses, men servants, maid servants, and so for the peace, the other person would give up a wife or a beautiful woman for this other king's harem. And that's where she went. That's where she was. She went into the harem of Pharaoh. But now see, listen, God's not going to have that, because that's not God's plan. He didn't say that he was going to make a great nation out of Egypt and that this was going to happen in Egypt. He said, I want you to go to Canaan. I want you to go to Canaan. So Abraham was out of place, and he was already working out of his own mind in making these decisions. And now here is him and Sarah separated. She's in the harem of Pharaoh. Look at verse 17. The Lord God plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. When we're out of God's will, when we're not following God, I'm not telling you that it'll always be bad, 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 bad. That's not what I'm saying. But it won't be good. It might be bad, bad, bad. Very well could be, depending on the situation. But when we leave God's will, when we know he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when we know the direction that we're supposed to go in, and we're not going in that direction, then there's going to be a division there. There's going to be an upset. It's going to be kiltered. It's not going to be right. It's going to be off center. That's when our peace and our joy and our contentment is interrupted. There's no better place to be in the middle of a storm, or when things just are upside down, knowing you're in God's will. There's no better place to be. On the other side, if it's beautiful outside, and man, the washing machine's running, the tires are not going flat on the car, and the boss is good, everything is fine, but we're not in God's will, it's the worst place you could possibly be. It's the worst place you could possibly be. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh had enough sense to do some investigating. Look at verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" So evidently he questioned her. He found out, he got a hold of some servants or something. And I don't know if he threatened them or what he did. But he got to the truth. Verse 19, "Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way." Now listen, here's the Pharaoh of Egypt telling this man his wife to get out of Egypt. And later on, there's another Pharaoh telling a whole bunch of Hebrews and Moses to get out of Egypt. Think about that later on in Exodus. Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now watch this. I've got just a few minutes, and here's what I want you to understand. You always got to get on where you got off. Now remember, he got off when he went to Egypt. Now look in chapter 13. Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. Lot went with him into the south. Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Remember over there when he was in Bethel and Ai, and he removed from thence unto the mountains the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, one time from verse 10 all the way to verse 20 there in chapter 12, have we seen Abraham, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to, Lord, are you going to take care of us? There's not any water. He never prayed that one time. He took matters into his own hands. Now he goes back to Bethel. That's where he got off at. It's when he left Bethel and he started toward Egypt. Went further south, and he wound up going to Egypt because of the famine. You always got to get back on where you got off. Lord's not going to let you skip anything. You got to go back to where you got off. Simple. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, maybe in verse 4, and unto the place which he had built there in first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean that's the place where he called on the name of the Lord. This is where he's calling on the name of the Lord again. So I wonder what Abraham said. Well, we don't know what Abraham said. But, you know, I kind of have an idea. I sort of have an idea because I know that I should be in Bethel, and I know when I've left Bethel and I'm supposed to, and when I go back there, you understand what I mean? And so to get back to Bethel, when you get there and you call upon the name of the Lord, there's some things that needs to be straightened out. And there's nothing better than that peace, than to have that peace and to have that assurance and to have that contentment. It's far better. It's better to be thirsty, have peace and contentment, than have all the water you can drink and be out of God's will. And so, because God has a way of helping us to bear up under burdens. Like my friend, what she's going through, God's going to give her strength. And you know what? This could be her finest hour. People could come to Jesus. Her kids could see a side of her that could move them for the rest of their life. You know, that's something to think about. And because in verse 5, and it says, "And Lot also, which went with him, with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents." Now see, you know, Abraham was influential with other people. He was influential with Lot and his herdsmen. He had influence. And I'm not going to get too far with this right here, but our influence, we really have to guard that. We can lose it. That's a terrible thing. We can lose our influence and our testimony and our ability to help people. And so and in so doing, what that does, it hinders the work of God. And we don't want that. We don't want that. We need to be back to Bethel where we started out. Where, you know, we can call upon the name of the Lord. And Lot also was with him, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and cattle, and now they're fixing to separate, but I'm watching my time. My time's almost gone, y'all. Listen, I'll see you next week for Bible study, okay? I love you. Pray for one another, and God bless, okay? Amen.